It's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, educator Lori Fisher and cinematographer and educator Cameron Shaw. And now, here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely, if rainy, weekend. And we do hope you can join us over the course of the next hour because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So what we are looking for is your participation. That's very, very important to us. We love to hear from you. We really do. So we do hope you will call soon. And soon is the best time to call because we get those calls at the top of the show. We can spend all the time we want with you. I didn't mean you necessarily, but it's always nice to hear from you anyway. Area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free. Yes, we have a toll free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. Our line's open right now. It is a good time to call, I guarantee you. Also want to remind you, you can email us. Those emails will pop up in front of me. And that email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral one. mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. If you don't want to call, though we would rather you call because we do enjoy talking to you. But if you don't want to call and you want to email, that's fine too. So again, that's mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. And of course, if you'd like to hear us in live stream, that is at kalw.org. And if you'd like to hear the podcast, Joanne will do her usual fine job. And that podcast should be up at some point today. And that will also be at kalw.org and many other places. But start with KALW. I'm sure that would be appreciated. Just to mention the numbers once more. It'll be more than once more, but I'll start with this. Area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. We're going to start with the round introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Cameron Shaw would like for summer to not end yet, please. She's only gone in two rivers and has not slept nearly enough.
True. And it's summer raining.
Summer might be over. Yeah,
that's true. I think it's over. Yeah.
Yep. It might be.
No, not really.
Well, let's hope not. All right. This week, an astute audience member emailed an erudite and completely accurate explanation of why Lori Fisher was, how shall we put this, absolutely wrong about one of his literature questions last week. He has some splaining to do, and he will.
See, we're too nice to mention it on air, but our listeners are not too nice to mention it.
We appreciate that.
Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, would rather have a president that made chicken McNuggets as a teenager than eats them as an adult.
Mm.
Very good.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't know who you mean.
All right. All that being said, we are going to bend the questioning with Cameron Shaw.
Okay. I have, so recently the New York Times put out, it was a couple months ago maybe, a list of the best books of the 21st century so far. And there are three authors on there with three works listed on the list. So three works each. I'm wondering if you can tell me the authors and if you, extra bonus points, if you can tell me the books.
Ooh. And are these fiction, nonfiction, or both?
They are all fiction. They're all fiction. One author I would say is more historical fiction, but yes, they're all fiction.
So I didn't see the list, but my first guess would be Colson Whitehead.
That's a great guess. Not Colson Whitehead.
Yeah. All right. Dana, take over.
Well, yeah, I don't know if I can take over. I don't read a lot of fiction, not 21st century fiction anyway. So this is all, is this all fiction, Cameron? I'm sorry.
I don't believe that the entire list is fiction. No, it's just 20, the best books of the 21st century.
And these are more likely to be artful books rather than just bestsellers, correct?
Yeah, these are all fairly literary.
Yeah, James Peterson will not be on the list, even though he probably sold more books than anybody. Okay. Yeah. Oh, man, okay. We should know this.
You know, I had to think about this. So Colson Whitehead is not on the list.
Well, he's not one of the ones with the most
with three
the
works.
Most titles. Yeah, I believe he is on the list somewhere. I can pull.
Well,
it
who
up.
Has written three works? It's actually kind of unusual to write three works in a certain period of time. Yeah,
5 years,
24 years. Yeah. Cool.
I don't know. I have to think about this.
Okay.
All right.
Mull it over. I can give you a second question if you'd like, or I can save it for later.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so sticking with my topic of three of things, there are three movies that are sequels that were nominated for Best Picture Academy Awards when their predecessor was not. And they're all, again, in the 21st century. Wondering if you can tell me what they are.
So, once more.
So there are three movies, films, that are sequels that were nominated for Best Picture Awards when their predecessor was not. What are they?
And they're all in the 21st century, yes?
All from the 21st century, yes. So, for example, The Godfather 2 was nominated, but The Godfather was also nominated, so that doesn't count.
And they were both in the 20th century, too, right?
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Would also, okay, but I get it. All right.
So... All right, think about this. So they were nominated for Best. Did any of them actually win, or can you give
no. that away? Good question. None of them
None
actually
of them.
Won. Yeah.
So Dana, would any of them be in the Lord of the Rings quadrilogy or whatever it is?
I think that would just one. Barely be in the 21st century, wouldn't it?
That was early 21st century. It was when I was in college, so... You know, 2005.
But then one of them did win Best Picture.
And I think the original wasn't nominated. So that's going to be one of my guesses.
Yeah.
The Lord of the Rings world.
That is a good guess. It is not correct. You're right that one, the Return of the King. No, the last one. Yeah, the Return of the King won Best Picture. I believe both of the first two were nominated for Best Picture.
All right.
Yeah. All right. I think about that, too.
Oh, I also have, are both of the films, both the original and the sequel, 21st century, or might one of the original have been in a previous century?
Oh, that's a great question. Okay, so all of the, two of the movies that were nominated for Best Picture are actually not just sequels, but one of a series of movies. All of the movies, the first movies were in the 20th century rather than the 21st.
So, Dana, this is a help question. Yeah. Was the original Star is Born nominated for Best Picture?
And then, yes.
It was the one with Janet Gaynor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then I think the second one was too, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. But I thought the original might not have been, and then the one with Bradley Cooper was, but that's not it. Okay.
Not to split hairs, but that was a remake and not a sequel.
Sure, okay.
That's true.
That's a hair to split, yeah.
Yeah,
that's a fair hair. Okay.
A fair hair.
All right, leave it out.
Okay.
And Laura, you go ahead, please.
All right, well, this is a follow-up to my correction. One of our wonderful listeners, Mark Siegel, called with a correction. I had asked for the original or titles of things that became famous novels, and I said one of them was Prometheus Unchained. There is no such previous novel or title. What I meant to say was Prometheus Unbound, which was a title that Mary Shelley considered for Frankenstein, changed it into a modern Prometheus, and Prometheus Unbound became a play by Percy Shelley. So, Mark, thank you for that. It was really good. He sent me a long, wonderful, erudite thing and inspired this question because Mark worked in the film industry. He shared with me some background information. In 2003, here's the question. The United States Post Office issued a series of American filmmaking stamps honoring various parts of the filmmaking industry. I'm going to give you the categories. There's 10 of them. They're all well known. They're not acting. And I want to know either what person or what film is represented on the stamp. Make sense?
Yeah.
So number one is special effects. Number two is producer. Number three is screenwriter, in which case it's just a page from a script. All really well known. Number four is directing. Number five is costume design. Number six is music. Seven is makeup. Eight is art direction and set design. Then cinematography and film editing. So I'm looking for the person or the film. I'll take either one, which is represented on an actual commemorative U.S. stamp issued in 2003.
Before you go down the list, are these all Americans or are they of different nationalities?
They're all American films. I don't know where all the people who represented them. Some might have been born in Europe, but they all are associated definitely with the American film industry.
Okay,
for sure.
Go ahead, please.
So it's special effects, producer, screenwriter, director, costume design, music, makeup, art direction, cinematography, and film editing. And they're all, to me, pretty well known with maybe two of them on the margin. Anyway, give you enough guesses.
They all have to be deceased, I believe, to be on a stamp.
Yeah.
I think there's a technicality. There is a portion of one of them that has a part of a human body in the stamp, which I'll tell you when we get the answer.
I think that one of the people I seem to remember seeing on a stamp is James Wong Howe, as the cinematographer. Is that one of them?
No. It'd be a good one.
Right.
He's not
guess.
The one representing. Yeah, it is.
Okay, all I'm right. going to guess for cinematography. How about Conrad Hall?
No, not Conrad Hall.
Oh.
The cinematographer they honor is from the 30s. And it's the only one in which the cinematographer and the film I've never heard of. So I'm not.
The film you've never heard of.
Yeah.
Wow.
But all the rest.
Oh, dear.
You've heard of all of them.
Okay. Interesting.
Is the producer David Selznick?
No. Not David Selznick.
All right.
Is special effects Star Wars in some capacity?
It's not Star Wars, but you're in more or less the right era of special effects.
More or less the right era of special effects.
Yeah.
All right, just go down the list once more, if you would, and the question.
So I want to know what film or what human is in the stamp. Sometimes it's both for these categories: special effects, producer, screenwriter, in which case it's just a page of the script, directing, costume design, music, makeup, art direction, cinematography, and film editing, and this question was inspired by Mark Siegel, the man who wrote me about the Prometheus thing.
Is the screenwriter Herman Mankiewicz?
Oh, good.
Which film? No.
Or Citizen Kane?
He didn't write. No. So, no, this is not Citizen Kane. Right era, though. You're in the wheelhouse of the era of this script.
Okay.
All right.
Gosh, Dana, we should be better at this.
I know. And I know Hitchcock has been on a stamp, but I don't know if this is the stamp that he's referring to.
He's not. And, oh, I see Joanne guessed Edith Head for costume, and that is correct.
Oh, good
Joanne.
Job.
Yeah. Okay. And she's holding a dress she designed for Janet Leigh. I don't know which movie. Very good. Okay.
How about John Williams for music?
No.
Oh, but he's not dead.
He's still alive.
Yeah. He's not dead. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this person is dead.
Is the cinematographer, is it, I'm totally blanking on this guy's name. Is it the one who shot for Joseph von Sternberg?
Maybe. I don't
for
know
like
enough of
Shanghai Express or The Scarlet Empress.
I don't know.
Gosh, movie, I'll remember his name. Yeah.
I should have looked up the movie so I could answer better questions.
Okay.
That's the movie that's the most obscure to me, and I did not look it up.
Okay.
But our listeners will.
I'll remember his name too eventually. Okay. I haven't had enough coffee.
Sometime after this show.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we need nine more, gang.
On the cinematographer one, the movie's name is on the stamp and the cinematographer's name is on the stamp?
Yeah. It is.
And the movie is from the 1930s.
1933 is what's listed there. I read a little brief sentence or two about each stamp, so I can't be positive the year is on it. But in the thing the U.S. Post Office put out, they have a sentence describing it, and it said 1933.
Wow.
And this one, I'm going to give you the name of the cinematographer because maybe that will help. Because I know, Cameron, that's more your field. His name is Paul Hill. You heard of Paul Hill?
No. Gosh, no. This is exciting.
Yeah.
Seems like a movie I need to see.
I'm not really familiar with Paul Hill. Okay. So the 33 film, he didn't do King Kong.
Did not.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Leave it out.
Okay. And the rest are better known than Paul Hill, at least I think to our audience.
Can I guess one more? I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
A lot of time. How about, I guess this would be art and sets. What about H.R. Giger for Alien?
No. It's way before Alien.
I would issue some different stamps, I tell you what.
Well, remember, they're honoring kind of historical Hollywood, more or less. And these are more or less in the 30s and 40s,
except for the
special effects one, which is modern.
Copy.
Weird. All right. Yeah. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Kim in San Francisco. I have an answer about the list from the New York Times book.
Okay.
Great.
Elena Ferrante.
Yes, Elena Ferrante is, she had the number one book of the 21st century.
And My Brilliant Friend, I believe, is that the number one book? And I think the other two might have been The Lost Daughter.
Story of the Lost Child, yes.
And was the other one The Lying Lives of Adults?
No, the third one is not that. But great job.
Really?
All right,
good.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Appreciate it. And all right, let's see. Let me give you a couple questions here. So this is my weird question of the week. And what is the state, the U.S. state? I'm going to tell you it's on the East Coast, okay? Just so you know. What is the U.S. state where residents are most likely to use a fake phone call as an excuse not to acknowledge a stranger?
So the rudest state, is that what we're saying?
That's a roundabout way of saying it, I suppose.
So what happens? People pretend not.
What is the state? It's a what U.S. state, and it's an East Coast state. So what I'm looking for is a state where the residents are most likely to use a fake phone call, pretend to be on the phone, as an excuse not to acknowledge a stranger.
Oh, I see. They pretend they're talking on the phone.
Yeah, they pretend they're talking. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah,
wow. So first of all, I want to know the methodology.
I should have written more about that, but I didn't. But it came from a reasonable source, so I wouldn't have used it.
Your neighbor. Okay.
Okay. So, I mean, my first inclination is New York. But I don't really, I'm only basing that on New York City. Is it New York City?
No, it's actually not New York. No.
Okay. I would think it would be a big city too, but New York is such a big state. It's a rural state, so there's people who are very, would never wave you off. Okay,
So once more, what is the U.S. state, and it's on the East Coast, where the residents are most likely to use a fake phone call as an excuse not to acknowledge a stranger?
I'm going to go with Massachusetts.
It is not Massachusetts.
Okay. Right. Boston, you know, attitude.
All right. Second question.
Yes, it's a weird question. You're right.
That's it is a weird.
I love it.
Yeah. That's me too.
Well, we all know that Ms. Harris, the Democratic nominee, was the Attorney General of California at one point. So who was the last president to have been a state attorney general?
Wow.
Who was the last U.S. president to have been a state attorney general?
Is it in the last 75 years?
Yeah. Yeah. And what was the state? So who was the last U.S. president to have been a state attorney general, and what was the state? if you get the president, you're going to get the state, obviously. So,
how about Hubert Humphrey?
He was never president.
Was he in the last?
Oh, correct. That's right. That would eliminate him. Okay.
Yeah. Mark Siegel is just emailing you right now about that.
Yeah.
But no. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Cameron, were either the Bushes? I don't think they were.
I don't think so.
Once more, who was the last U.S. president to have been a state attorney general? You know, Kamala Harris was the state attorney general of California.
Could have been. How about Bill Clinton? Any chance? He's a lawyer. I think not.
Yes, Bill Clinton is correct.
Oh,
yes. He was the state attorney general of Arkansas. Okay, good job. All right, so now I'm going to give you the longer question. These are imaginary places in novels. Ooh. And I want you to tell me the novel they're from. These are imaginary places in novels, famous novels.
Okay.
So please just give me one guess each. If you
okay. How many?
One.
Well, I think there are seven, yeah.
Okay.
Number one, Thrush Cross Grange. Thrush Cross Grange. Number two, Pensy Prep. Number three, The Lowood School. Number four, Belle Reve. I can spell that if you like. It's B-E-L-L-E-R-E-V-E. Number five, Starkfield. Number six, Pandemonium. And number seven, Manderley. Again, these are imaginary places in novels. I want you to tell me the novel they are from. Number one, Thrush Cross Grange. Number two, Pensy Prep. Number three, The Lowood School. Number four, Belle Reve. Number five, Starkfield. Number six, Pandemonium. Number seven, Manderley. I'll give you one guess each, please.
Go ahead, Cameron.
Okay, I have two guesses. Well, one I know, so I'll leave that one out. I'm guessing is the Lowood School, I believe, is from Jane Eyre.
That is correct, Jane Eyre. Good job.
And Joanne is guessing, or not guessing, she's saying Rebecca for Manderley.
Yeah.
That is correct also.
The one that
it's a long shot for me, but is Pensy Prep a separate piece?
No, it is not.
That's okay. A good guess, though.
Yeah, I know it's a prep school. I don't remember the name. Okay, so I don't know the rest, and that was my guess.
All right, so the ones we have left are your imaginary places in novels. Number one is Thrush Cross Grange. Number two is Pensy Prep. Number three is Belle Reve. Number four is Starkfield. Number five is Pandemonium. All right, leave that out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Fred in West Virginia. Can you hear me?
We can.
Yes.
Hear you.
Okay, good, good. Well, I want to tell you, you guys are not weird. I want to let you know. I want you to know, congratulations. You are not weird. But I have a question after a recent trip to Europe. Thank you very much. I noticed the Danube is not blue. But the question is, what countries have capitals on the Danube River? There's four.
Budapest, Hungary. Bratislava.
Budapest, Hungary.
Bratislava, Slovakia.
What was the last one you said?
Bratislava.
Bratislava, yes. You've got three or four.
Austria.
That's it. And
no, that's only three.
Those three.
Okay.
There were four. Okay. And
you just said Vienna, right?
Yeah, he said Vienna.
I said Vienna, Budapest, Bratislava. And what's the last one? Let me think for a second.
I think it goes through Serbia. Is that capital?
It is Serbia. What's the capital of Serbia?
Belgrade.
Exactly. Very good. And
good,
the Danube begins in the Black Forest of Germany. Where does it end?
it ends. The Danube Delta is in Romania.
Yeah, what city is that?
You want the city? Yeah.
No, it's the sea.
Yeah, it ends in the Black Sea.
That's right. Okay, so it begins in the Black Forest, and it ends in the Black Sea. And I have an answer, maybe sequels to movies that the original did not get Academy Award. Maybe Toy Story 3?
Toy Story 3, good job, from 2010.
Okay. Are there more?
There are two more, yes.
Okay. Top Gun.
Top Gun Maverick, excellent. Okay.
Oh, okay, good. And there's one more.
There is one more.
I don't know if Mad Max got a nomination for its first movie, but probably not.
It was not nominated for its first movie, but you're correct that Mad Max Fury Road was nominated for Best Picture.
Okay, so I got one more.
You How ran the category Avatar? There.
Avatar, Way of the Water.
No, you already got all of them.
Yeah, you got
all
of them.
But there may be another one.
Well, Avatar, Way of Water, the original Avatar did win Best Picture, so that doesn't fit the criteria. But you got all three. Good job.
All right, I'm doing excellent. How about this? There's one last geography question. Okay. Where's the Philadelphia corridor?
Say that again?
Philadelphia quarter. Corridor. Philadelphia corridor.
It's in, I just heard something about this. It's in a country in the Middle East, right?
Yes, correct. Give me more.
Is it in... Oh, gosh.
It's 8.5 miles long.
Is it in Jordan?
No.
No. No. Okay.
Keep going. Keep going. It's in the news.
It's the Philadelphia corridor.
And why is it called that?
Yes. Why is it called that?
It's called that. It was the military code randomly picked, and it became commonly put in agreements and is very currently... Very important.
So it's in Israel.
Is it in Israel? Yeah.
Israel?
Well, that's questionable, but no.
Oh, no. Okay.
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 Lebanon?
No.
Oh, no. I know where it is. It's,
okay, there you go.
That's for the Gaza Strip, isn't it? Isn't it in the Gaza Strip?
It's the border between the Gaza Strip and Egypt. And it's holding up a ceasefire. Who will be manning that corridor?
And isn't that one of the places where they were building the, that's where the dock was that they were bringing in the
that was stuff. not quite there. Further north in Gaza, but Rafah is in there right on the border, and it's very important for the current ceasefire negotiations. I stumped you on one. Thank you
very much.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah.
Watch a lot of films in West Virginia. Way to go, Fred.
Okay. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. And you are very welcome to call. We would love to hear from you if with a question or answer. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. You can also email us at mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. That is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Okay, so we have some emails here. Deborah is asking, isn't Belle Reve from a play and not a novel? You're right. I'm sorry, that was very, I won't say it was stupid of me, but it was not, I should have said that, yes. And it is indeed from, Belle Reve is indeed from Streetcar Named Desire. That was the name of the plantation they lost, where Blanche used to live. So thank you for that. Thank you. That was my mistake. And Zach is wondering, best books of the 21st century, so wondering, Hilary Mantel, Wolf Hall, Bring Up the Bodies, and Prometheus Rebound. Any of those?
Hilary Mantel she may be on the list. I don't have the entire list in front of me, but she is not one of the
All right. Sorry about that.
And Prometheus Rebound, that refers back to Prometheus Unbound. So we're having good to hear that title.
Noel got Bill Clinton for the Attorney General. Thank you very much for that. And Marilyn is wondering, Jessamine Ward, I'm just reading, I'll read you what she says here. Jessamine Ward, Salvage to the Bones, Sing Unburied, Elena Ferrante, Brilliant Friend Books, Hilary Mantel, Wolf House. This is in response to your question.
So great job. You got Jessamine Ward and two of her books. So Jessamine Ward is one of the authors. You got Sing Unburied, Sing, and Salvage the Bones. Excellent.
All right. And then the screenwriter, Marilyn, is suggesting Dalton Trumbo.
Oh, good.
No. In the case of a screenwriter, they don't actually depict the person. They just have a picture, one page from the script. And Dalton Trumbo did not write the
All right. Also, she's referring to, they used to have Rick and then, but I think she means Rick Baker for the makeup for American Werewolf in London and the effects for 2001 Space Odyssey, any one of those, right?
So no, neither one of those is correct, unfortunately. And both terrific guesses.
All right. And Peter had a question that he wanted to pose to people. And which of the planet's islands supports the greatest diversity of life? Which of the Earth's islands supports the greatest diversity of life? So we can leave that out. See, if else you want to take a guess?
Is it Madagascar?
It is not Madagascar.
Okay.
Is it the Galapagos?
Oh,
it is not the Galapagos.
It's one singular island or an island chain?
It's basically one island, but yeah. There might be some small islands around it, but it's basically one main island.
Okay.
And I presume this means all forms of life, right? Microscopic bugs, insects, birds, human, not just diversity of human life. I presume that's what they mean.
I believe, yeah. Yeah. It's not human life. Yes. All right. So again, Peter had a question. Which of the planet's islands supports the greatest diversity of life? And then Stefan just posed a question. Is Ray Harryhausen the answer to the question about special effects pioneer?
You would think
it's not.
It would not. Okay. Yeah. It's, I think, earlier than that. And in the case of the makeup.
George Powell?
I'm going to say this. On the stamp for makeup, they have the actor getting in the makeup for this famous film. They don't actually depict the makeup person, oddly enough. And so it might be one of these people. I don't think so. It is in the 30s, 40s kind of era of filmmaking.
Oh, so is it the one that did the Frankenstein? Is it Pierce?
Yeah, that's who it is. It's Boris Karloff's in the picture in the Frankenstein makeup. And who is it? Pierce? Is that the name?
Pierce. His last name is Pierce. I'm trying to think of his first name now.
Okay, very good.
But I'll think of it. All right. Jack Pierce. Sorry.
Okay. Nice.
Oh, okay. For screenwriting, is it the script of Gone with the Wind?
It is.
So is it Sidney Howard then?
Yes. They don't depict the person. Who has the credit? Is it Sidney Howard that has the only credit?
Sidney Howard has the main credit, but there are a lot of people that work on it.
Yeah. Very good, Cameron. Get a bell for that. Gone with the Wind it is.
Good job.
Good.
Okay. And sorry, I neglected to mention that, I did mention it, but you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Our panel today, that would be Cameron Shaw, teacher and cinematographer, which is probably why she's so interested in the cinematography question. And Lori Fisher teaches at Dabo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you are listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. All right. Just to remind you again, those two numbers to call, area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer. Same with toll-free, 866-798-8255. And Cameron, I think it is your turn.
It is my turn. All right. So speaking of Kamala Harris, she is a Bay Area elected official or has been in the past. What practice begun in 2003 by Kamala Harris was recently outlawed by Bay Area elections committees?
elections committees.
Yes. Certainly, at least San Francisco has outlawed it, and I believe it's being toyed with in other municipalities.
And she began it. That was yes. under her as a district attorney or as a.
I think it was when she was running for attorney general. The year that I have is 2003.
Would we be surprised now that she endorsed this practice because it's inconsistent with what she might say now?
I don't think so. No, it's nothing scandalous, really, or bad.
So, is it something like showing your ID to be able to vote? Is it something in that realm for elections?
No, it's something about her campaign and how she presents herself. And other people quickly picked up on the idea of doing this. I'm being vague. I can try to be more specific if you'd like.
But it has to do with elections, correct? Because the elections committee is outlawing it. Is that it?
Yes, and it's to cater specifically to Bay Area populations.
Really? Does it have something to do with presenting your name as a married name, not married name, or if you're gay, your partner?
It has to do with her name.
Her name.
Yes.
With her name?
Yes, with her own name.
As in her first name, Kamala?
Her whole name.
Her whole name. Okay. Well, who knows? Let's think about that. We can leave it out.
Yeah.
And since we are about halfway done, let's quickly go over the questions we have on the table still. You don't have to repeat that one, Cameron, but what else do you have?
Okay. I'm looking for... So there are three authors that have three works each on the New York Times Best Books of the 21st Century so far list. We've gotten Elena Ferrante and Jessamyn Ward, and callers have guessed two of each of their books. I'm looking for the third author.
And you did say 21st century, right?
21st century. Okay. The third author, his books, I will say it's a he, and two more of the books that were listed. And then Fred from West Virginia really ran the table on my... Oscar question. So good job, Fred.
And I am looking for 2003, the American American filmmaking stamps were issued by the United States Post Office. And we're looking for the person or the film honored in special effects, film editing, cinematography, 1933 movie, art direction, music, directing, and producer. And only, let's see, as I said, only two of them are kind of contemporary. The rest are kind of, the special effects is contemporary. And the director is more or less, although he or she is deceased, a contemporary director, not from that 30s and 40s era.
Oh, okay. And what is the U.S. state? And it is on the East Coast. I will give you that. Their residents are most likely to use a fake phone call as an excuse not to acknowledge a stranger. And this came up. I was doing a little research into the least friendly states in the U.S. and this came up in that.
Are you looking to move?
What's that?
Are you looking to move somewhere?
No. It says I'm a friendly person, and
I know.
So
I live in
a. So how about New Hampshire then? That's kind of
not
a
new, not New Hampshire. Although I believe Vermont was on the list of the least friendly states, actually.
Ben and Jerry? That doesn't seem likely.
Except for them. what is the East Coast state where residents are most likely to use a fake phone call as an excuse not to acknowledge a stranger? Apparently, this is a big thing in politics now. When somebody in politics doesn't want to talk to you, they always act like they're on the phone. While they're walking quickly, I'm sorry, I can't talk, I'm on the phone. So anyway, what state would that be? And I give you a list of imaginary places in novels. The ones we have left, now I'm just asking you to identify the novel. Number one is Thrush Cross Grange. Number two is Pensy Prep. Number three is Starkfield. Number four is Pandemonium. Where are those places in novels? Or what novels are those from, I should say? And Lori, I think it's your turn, brother.
Well, we're in transition from the Olympic Games and the Paralympic Games, but I'm going to have some questions about what are called the Gay Games. And one of my questions is, why are they called that? So there's four questions. What year did they start? And where did they start? Both the city and the location within the city. What celebrity performed the opening ceremonies, including the Star-Spangled Banner? And who was the founder? And I'll have.
So you're talking about the Paralympic Games?
No, I'm talking about the gay, what are called the Gay Games.
Oh, the Gay Games. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I've used that as the intro.
So when wasn't the first one in San Francisco?
It was. And where was it held in San Francisco?
It was at, wasn't it at Kezar?
It was.
Very good. Cool.
Yeah. Okay. What year?
Ooh.
What year, who performed, and who was considered the founder, and what's the significance
of
that?
Well, Dr. Tom Waddell was one of them. He was a former Olympic athlete.
That's right. He was in the decathlon in 1968 and was the founder.
Yeah.
And I believe died of AIDS. That's good. All right. What year?
Oh, is
within two?
I want to say it's 80, right around the early 80s, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was. 82.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. Okay. And last is what performer performed at the opening ceremony, and including, I think, I'm not positive, but I think the Star-Spangled Banner. Very well known.
Was it Sylvester?
It was not Sylvester.
Okay.
But that would have been an interesting choice.
Yeah, well, you could have had the Star-Spangled Banner.
Very, very much.
So is this somebody who was mainstream, more or less, or thought of as mainstream?
Mainstream and then big stream. What I would say is everybody loved this performer, right? Yeah. Both in the mainstream, big success, and also in all kinds of communities, I believe.
Huh.
I would say he or she is beloved in the way that a Dolly Parton might be. Not Dolly Parton.
Not too bad.
Still alive?
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
I should know. I think he or she is, you know, I'm just going to say I don't know.
Okay.
But this person has been alive in all of our lifetime.
Okay.
All right. Leave it out.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter.
Good morning. I'm going to be very brief. First, I do have a letter from Kamala Harris, when she was general attorney, when I filed a complaint against a Silicon Valley company. And that is mean a lot to me. Okay. Related to that, who was the first woman to run for U.S. president ever?
Ever? Ever?
That
the first one. Yeah, I think it's Victoria Woodhull.
Yes, you are right. You are right. But everybody should also think of, what is the second one, 1972? Shirley?
Shirley Chisholm.
Yeah,
Shirley was a great woman. She was, in fact, my girlfriend then, and I voted for her. Compare what we have. Okay, so very quickly, let's talk Zucker for change. This part of the world where David and Goliath incident took place, and also when Egypt defeated the Mongols. What part of the world it is?
That was in
the Middle East. Which one?
That was in Gaza.
In Philadelphia. Gaza,
the Philadelphia corridor, I believe.
Yeah. Could be.
You're 100% right. Okay, what is the trigger mechanism in hydrogen bomb? Hydrogen bomb made out of, not really hydrogen, but out of isotope of hydrogen, deuterium and tritium. What is the trigger mechanism? How do you explode it? It's 1,000 times as much as an atom bomb. How do you explode it? What triggers it?
Don't know.
I do not know.
An atom bomb.
Oh,
this
really?
This is a trigger mechanism. Yeah, now one wish from you. I want you all to wish fast recovery for my friend Carol. She fistfully been listening to your show longer than I. Sadly, Carol, she's a doctor. She has cancer. She may die. She may be even dead by now. Please wish her speedy recovery. Her name is Carol. I'm sorry. She lives in San Francisco, and she is real loyal to your show, and should have been living in the last several months on your show and my calls. Great show, always, and that's really good tribute to you. Really good tribute to your show. Thank you, and look forward to talking to you next week. Have a good job.
Carol, we wish you all the best, and we thank you for listening to the show.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. And let me give you a question here. Let's see. Let me look at this. What is the U.S. state with the highest percentage of union membership? What U.S. state has the highest percentage of union membership in the United States? It's 24.1%.
Wow.
Well, I'll start the bidding with, go ahead, Michigan.
Sorry, I said Michigan.
No, that's fine. Yeah. Dana, Michigan?
Not Michigan.
Okay.
I was going to guess Ohio.
It is not Ohio. It's not in the Midwest, strangely enough.
Whoa.
Hmm.
So what U.S. state has the highest percentage of union membership in the U.S.? Yes, it's 24.1%.
A lot.
Wow.
And while you're thinking about that, let's see. Peter is wondering if the fake phone call state is Rhode Island. It is not Rhode Island.
Is the fake phone call state and the union membership the same state?
It is not. It is not. And D. Lichtman is wondering if Thrush Cross Grange is from Wuthering Heights. It is from Wuthering Heights. Very good. And anybody who's read that book, well, who remembers reading that book, most people don't read it after college or high school. Thrush Cross Grange was the home of the Lintons, Linton family.
Nice.
And Chris is wondering if these stamps, the director on the stamp is Stanley Kubrick.
It's not Stanley Kubrick, but it's more of that Stanley Kubrick era than it is the 30s and 40s. It's sort of, this person made films in the 60s and 70s.
Okay. All right. Leave it out.
Cameron, I have a question for you. Where did the Lemony Snicket books take place? Would that have been in Pandemonium?
I don't think so. I only read a couple of those, but the Pandemonium one really doesn't ring a bell for me. So,
okay.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Pandemonium was not named after the word pandemonium, but was not referring to the original word. It was the original word. So in other words, the word pandemonium was coined for this book.
Get out.
So that's where the word comes from.
Interesting.
Yes.
What century would this work have been written in?
It is before the 20th century.
Okay. Wow.
So, just so you know. So that is where the word comes from. And all right. And the two numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134. We have plenty of time left to talk to you, or toll free 866-798-8255. And remember, we're still looking for the answer to Peter's question, aren't we? Yes, we are. About the most diverse. Wait a minute, let me make sure. I have to read this just right here. Give me one second. And which of the planet's islands supports the greatest diversity of life?
So, how about Borneo?
That is correct.
Okay. Borneo. Good question, Peter.
But I took the time. And all right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of Matter.
Good morning. It's Danny and Sandra, the Damp Elder.
Hi, Danny. Hi, Sandra.
Yeah. Hello.
All right. Well, I just got sniped on Borneo. Drat.
Oh,
right.
I'm sorry.
No.
You're in Borneo? Yeah. I'm in Albany.
Yeah, all right. So, isn't Pandemonium Milton?
And that is right. It is Milton.
It's lost a novel. I thought it was a poem, but what do I know?
Well,
is it Paradise Lost?
It's kind of a poem. Well, no, it's prose. It's in the form of a novel. Right. Pandemonium is the capital of hell.
Yeah.
In Paradise Lost.
Okay,
so,
that's good. Yes. Okay, really quick, union membership. How about Minnesota?
Not Minnesota.
Oh, I was hoping it was a little Walls kind of callback.
It is a safely state
or something like that.
It is a safely democratic state, I will say that.
Well, that covers both coasts. California!
It is not California.
No, of course not. All right, so real quick, the stamps then. Music, I'm hoping it's Korn Gold, because these are some of my favorite movies.
Eric Wolfgang Korn Gold?
No, it is not.
In that case, how about Henry Mancini?
Not Mancini, before Mancini.
How about Max Steiner, then?
That's it. It is Max Steiner. The composer of everything. Very good. Bell on that one.
All right.
Producer, is that? I think the producer is either Irving Thalberg or Cecil B.
It's Cecil B. DeMille. And it's his production of Cleopatra that's on the stamp. Very good.
That'd be it. Going. All right. So everybody's dancing around director. I want it to be John Cassavetes.
You know, I don't know how you get your wishes fulfilled, but it is John Cassavetes.
Nice.
Very good.
Really?
And it's his direction of the film Husbands. With a Jenna Rollins question, which is John Cassavetes adjacent.
We were doing research.
Yeah. This is my real quick question here. So Jenna Rollins, who went off to the great after party in the sky last week, she was only one of six actresses nominated for an acting Oscar in a movie directed by her husband being John Cassavetes. And she actually was nominated twice for Woman Under the Influence in 74 and Gloria in 80. But can you name any of the other five actresses who was nominated for a Best Acting Oscar while being directed by her husband of the time? I'll spot you the first one because I never heard of her, Elizabeth Bergner. And she was in Escape Me Never in 1935, directed by Paul Schinner, and I haven't heard of any of them. But the others are much more.
I was more likely to get that one, I think. But I think one of the last ones was the woman from Fargo. She's married to the Coen brothers.
Frances McDormand.
That's absolutely correct. Frances McDormand.
Dana, did Olivier ever direct Vivien Leigh?
No, she was not.
No.
Joanne is guessing Ingrid Bergman, directed by Rossellini.
Very good, but no, she was not nominated for that.
No. So give us the decades for these, would you?
The 60s is one from 1982, and I think the other two are from the 60s.
I think one of them is Melina McCoury, who was in Never on Sunday, and her husband directed that, but Paul Dassin.
That's very good. Except they weren't married yet. They were engaged.
Okay.
You get a bell anyway.
you get a tiny little bell.
All right, I'll give myself a bell. Thank you.
We don't need to know about your personal life, Dana. Whether you give yourself a bell or not.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Dana. Yeah. What about? Oh, Joanne is guessing what I was thinking. Vanessa Redgrave, directed by Tony Richardson.
Wasn't that great? No, I'm afraid not.
Wow.
Huh.
Mm. Right, one's from 69, and I did not write down the other one, but I think it's in the 60s. But these are all, like, super, super, super famous people.
Now I'm trying to think.
No, it's not Prime of Miss Jean Brody, is it?
It is not.
Okay.
Elizabeth Taylor...
No, I don't think
no,
Richard
Burton directed
Elizabeth. All right. This is turning into a sort of thing, and I don't want to glom the rest of the show. I will I'll give you one of them was Gene Simmons. Remember the movie?
Oh, she was married to Richard Brooks.
For
Elmer Gantry, wasn't it?
It was The Happy Ending, actually, in 1960.
Oh, Happy Ending? Okay, I thought she was... Okay, I think she was not... Wasn't she nominated for Elmer Gantry, too? Anyway, that's fine.
All right, so how about one was for a cross-dressing role?
Oh, Julie Andrews for Victor Victoria, Blake Edwards?
Oh, okay.
Ding, ding, ding. Yes, absolutely.
All right.
And finally, this was one that I've got to go back and see because I somehow have managed to live my entire life without actually seeing this movie, directed by Paul Newman.
Oh, is Joanne Woodward in that? It's got a double woman's name in it.
Yep. Rachel.
Yeah,
Rachel. That's it.
It's a really good movie.
That's the table.
Great. Nice.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. I hope you have time for
the
call. And we'll see you next week.
Good question. Thanks a lot.
Okay, it was a good question. Yeah.
All right. Let's see now. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good morning. It's Peter in San Francisco.
Hi, Peter.
I think I may have seen a Billy Wilder postage stamp.
You know what? I think you might have seen one too, but he's not in this series that was issued in 2003. And the director was John Cassavetes, who is depicted.
I believe that a Pensy Preparatory is from Catcher in the Rye. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Oh, yes. Very good.
But thank you. But I've been confused by that because I think there is also an actual Pensy Preparatory School in Pennsylvania.
Is there? Oh, I wasn't.
Yeah, I believe
that.
So.
hate to go there.
But, really? Yeah. They've been living that down for about 80 years.
So my friend Roger often calls this show with the most sophisticated and erudite questions about literature and theater, but I can't match him. So these four questions are about hand puppets. Okay. And I think you'll get the first one's really easy. If you weren't listening to Orson Welles' War of the Worlds on that infamous night in 1938, what popular show on the opposite side of the dial might you have been listening to?
The Chase and Sanborn Hour with Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy?
That's correct. They said all the dummies were listening to the other show.
I love questions about old radio, but nobody ever asked them. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And I got just a couple more quickly. Which puppet show coined the term peanut gallery?
Howdy Doody. That was too easy.
Okay. Punch and Judy became popular throughout England about 350 years ago. But from which country did these puppet characters originate?
Italy, I think.
Oh, my questions are too easy. I'm no Roger. Okay, last one. Which famous ballet is inspired by a character who was originally a puppet?
Well, Stravinsky.
Isn't there? Go ahead.
It's Stravinsky, isn't it?
It's the end of the show, so I'll give it. It's Petrushka.
Right. Okay, that's Stravinsky, I think. Yes.
Okay.
Copelia is a
doll. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're a great question.
I thought it was the Nutcracker. that counted as a dummy. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Howdy is the least likely, the fake phone call state. How about Florida?
Not Florida.
Okay. Highest percentage of union, is that, that's not New York, is it?
It is not New York.
Okay. And Cameron is the last author, is it George Saunders?
It is George Saunders.
Oh, okay, good job.
Way to go.
I can only remember Lincoln and the Bardo.
Yeah, Lincoln, because it's late. I'll say Lincoln and the Bardo, the 10th of December, and Pastoralia are his three.
No. Tom, we have to let you go
because we're almost out
of time. We wrap up, but thank you very much. You did very well.
Thank you, Tom. I feel great. Bye.
All right. Okay, time to wrap up here. Cameron, what do we have left with you?
Okay, the only other two books that were not mentioned from the best books of the 21st century, Elena Ferrante's The Days of Abandonment and Jessamyn Ward's Men We Reaped, and then The Practice that Kamala Harris began in 2003, recently outlawed by elections committees in the Bay Area, was creating one's own Chinese name to be put on a ballot that is not just a phonetic sounding out of their English name. So okay. She created a name that meant something great in Chinese that now is considered kind of cheating.
All right. And Lauren?
The Gay Games in 1982, the opening day performer was Tina Turner in the national anthem. And the stamps that were missing, the art and set design was Percy Ferguson, who directed, who set designed Citizen Kane. Paul Hill was a cinematographer for the film I don't know, Nagana, which is an American film. Film editing was J. Watson Reb in The Razor's Edge, which I believe might have been referring to the razor's edge of editing. I don't know. And special effects of all things is someone modeling E.T. And the person modeling it is our listener, Mark Siegel, and three of Mark Siegel's fingers, should talk about a living person, are in that stamp.
There you go.
I want to thank Mark for the background for that. That's terrific.
That's more than a brush with fame, I guess.
Much bigger than a brush with fame, yeah.
So the U.S. state with the highest percentage of union membership is Hawaii. Actually. And the East Coast state where residents are most likely to use a fake phone call as an excuse not to acknowledge a stranger, that is Delaware. I'm trying to think what to do. Any of my Starkfield on the Imaginary Places and Novels is from Ethan Frome. And I think that was the only one that was left out. So, okay, if we did not get to your call, I do apologize. Thank you for all your emails. Thank you for all your calls. We certainly appreciate you listening to the show. Thanks to our panel. That would be Cameron Shaw, teacher cinematographer, and Lori Fisher, teaches at Diablo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Joanne Marp handling board and phones. As I said before, thanks to all of you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody, and please join us next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Have a great week. Take care. Bye-bye.